This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We'll do two more episodes of Prophetic Chronicles, inshallah, this week and next week, and with the end of the month of May and the beginning of the month of inshallah ta'ala June, we're going to start a special summer program, inshallah ta'ala. But this week or tonight and next Wednesday, inshallah, will be the conclusion of our regularly scheduled program. On the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, the hadith says, and this hadith is known as the hadith Qissatu Ajuzi Bani Israel, the old lady of Banu Israel. Has anyone heard this story before? The old lady of Banu Israel? Okay. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari related the following. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نزل بأعرابي فأكرمه، يعني من؟ الأعرابي أكرم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال له: يا أعرابي سل حاجتك. قال: يا رسول الله، ناقة برحلها وأعنز يحلبها أهلي. قالها مرتين، يعني هو أعاد مرتين. فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أعجزت أن تكون مثل عجوز بني إسرائيل؟ فقال أصحابه: يا رسول الله، وما عجوز بني إسرائيل؟ يسألون عن خبرها. قال: إن موسى أراد أن يسير ببني إسرائيل فأضل عن الطريق، فقال له علماء بني إسرائيل نحن نحدثك أن يوسف أخذ علينا مواثيق الله ألا نخرج من مصر حتى ننقل عظامه معنا، يعني جسده، تعبير عن الجزء، تعبير بالجزء ويريد الكل. قال: وأيكم يدري أين قبر يوسف؟ قالوا: ما تدري أين قبر يوسف إلا عجوز بني إسرائيل. فأرسل إليها فقال: دليني على قبر يوسف. فقالت: لا والله لا أفعل حتى أكون معك في الجنة، وفي رواية: حتى تعطيني حكمي. فقال: وما حكمك؟ قالت: أن أكون معك في الجنة. قال: وكره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قالت، يعني من؟ موسى كره ما قالت، يعني ما أحب أن يعطيها. فقيل له أو فأوحى الله إليه في رواية أن أعطها حكمها، فأعطاها حكمها، فأتت بحيرة من الماء فقالت: انضبوا هذا الماء. فلما نضبوه، يعني أزاحوه، قالت: احفروا ها هنا. فلما حفروا إذا عظام يوسف، فلما أقلوها من الأرض فإذا الطريق مثل ضوء النهار، يعني أبان الله عز وجل لهم الطريق وأدركوا حاجتهم. Okay. So what's the story? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, says, went to visit a Bedouin. And when he arrived, this Bedouin man, actually honored the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and showed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam great level of hospitality. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was impressed, was touched by what the man did for him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one narration, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Come to us, you know, visit us, so that he can repay him. In this particular story, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, ask us something, ask me for a favor, ask me for something, you know, that I can, with which I can repay you for what you have done for us. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I want a camel or a she-camel, right? And I want some goats that I can milk, or my family can milk. And he repeated that twice. So what did he ask for? Yani he asked for his dunya. It's a Bedouin, I mean, you know, a she camel will go a long way for a Bedouin. And these are very, you know, precious items that he asked for. Now, the messenger, this is the messenger of Allah. And imagine you being told by the messenger of Allah, make a wish. It's a golden, golden is not the right word. This is a heavenly opportunity. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ is asking you, what do you want? Ask me for something. Ask me for a favor. Ask me for anything. And the man said, I want a she-camel and some goats. So the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said to him, you were not, why did you fail to be like the elderly lady of Banu Israel? Why did you fail to be like the old lady of Banu Israel? So the Sahaba who were in his company, they said, what is the story of this old lady, Messenger of Allah? What lesson can we learn from her? What's her story? So the Messenger of Allah told them the following story. He said, when Moses, peace be upon him, started his journey out of Egypt and led Banu Israel out of Egypt, he said, they were lost. They couldn't find their way. So they were wondering what happened. You know, why they're not able to find their way. So Musa consulted with the elders and the scholars of Banu Israel. This is the messenger of Allah. Musa is a messenger of Allah, right? Yet he consulted with the people because he thought that they may have some knowledge as to why are we not able to find our way. So they said to him, we tell you, Yusuf, peace be upon him, has taken a pledge from our ancestors that if we were to leave Egypt, that we take his body with us. What's the story of Yusuf? Yusuf was the first of the 12 children of Israel, Ya'qub alayhi salam. Israel is Ya'qub. That's the name of Prophet Ya'qub, peace be upon him. Right? And Prophet Ya'qub had 12 sons, one of whom was Yusuf. He brought into slavery. He was brought to Egypt. He was taken into slavery and he was brought to Egypt. And then we know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him control over the treasures of Egypt. Right? The long story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And then how he invited his siblings to come. His brothers, his father and his mother and his brothers to come and join him in Egypt. And it was these 12 sons of Ya'qub alayhi salam that were the fathers of the 12 tribes of Banu Israel. That's why we call them Banu Israel, the children of Israel, because these are the... So Banu Israel, they multiplied and they became a large population of them. So this large population of Banu Israel, they all trace their lineage back. All of them go back to the 12 sons of Ya'qub. And since Yusuf was the one that brought them, he took an oath from them and from their children and from his children that if Banu Israel at any point decided to leave Egypt, that they don't leave him behind and take his body with them. So Musa alayhi salam said, Musa came generations after Yusuf. Musa alayhi salam said to them, and where can I find his body? Who knows where the tomb or the grave of Yusuf is? They said, there's only one elderly lady that knows where his grave is. She has the knowledge. So Musa alayhi salam said, bring her. And when she came, he asked her to show him where the grave of Yusuf alayhi salam was. So she said, I will not do that until you give me a promise or until you give me what I want. You guarantee me something I want. So he said, what is it? She said that I will be with you in Jannah. And that's the lesson. And when she said that, Musa alayhi salam didn't want to do that. He couldn't. He didn't. Yani, it's like, I can't guarantee you that. So it was said to him in another narration, Allah revealed to him to grant her what her wish, to give her that promise. And that's when she showed them where the grave was. Right, there was a body of water, they removed the water, and then they were able to dig. She said, dig there, they dug, and they found the body of Yusuf. And that's how they were able to find their way out of that particular area that they were lost in. What do we learn from this particular story? Many lessons. But before we talk about the story, let's just touch upon some lessons from the occasion upon which, during which the Prophet ﷺ actually shared the story. The Prophet ﷺ went to visit a Bedouin. Right? He used to visit people, and whenever anyone hosted him, ﷺ, he would accept. He accepted invitations of people, common people. Right? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to compensate or wanted to pay back the man for going out of his way and doing his best. Right? Number three, when the man asked for whatever he asked, obviously the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him what he asked for. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was an opportunity for the man and for the Sahaba who were there to learn. To learn to really check their aspirations and their priorities in life. Right? What is your aspiration? This is the Messenger of Allah asking you to ask him for any favor. And then the man ended up asking for a matter of dunya, some goats and some she camels. Right? He missed out. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted to teach him and teach the companions and teach us a valuable lesson. Right? It's a teachable moment. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, you should have done what that elderly lady from Banu Israel did. And that's when the Sahaba asked a question. There's another lesson right there. The Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, when he said to the man, right, why didn't you do what the old lady from Banu Israel did? They didn't say, okay, khair, the old lady from Banu Israel. No. They're like, what's the story of the old lady, Messenger of Allah? They asked. They inquired. They were inquisitive. They wanted to seek knowledge. They wanted to learn from the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There must be, you know, so what's the story? We don't know. Right? They didn't just shake their heads and they're like, yeah, this man should have, yeah. They asked. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam shares the story. And in the story, there is something very interesting. Prophet Musa alayhi wasallam consults with the scholars. Nowadays, we have people who don't even consult with the scholars. This is the Messenger of Allah. People don't consult with the scholars. They think they can figure things on their own. Either too lazy to ask or too arrogant to ask. Musa alayhi salam, he's a messenger and he consults with the scholars from his community, the experts. Because this is not a knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. There must be someone that knows where that place is, where Yusuf alayhi salam is buried. We need someone, you know, from the community. And let's ask the elder. So Musa alayhi salam consulted with them. It's a very valuable lesson for anyone in leadership or otherwise. Consult, ask, humble yourself, seek information, learn from other people's experiences and past mistakes. Right? Also, when the woman came, right? Look, the knowledge, this also shows, you know, the importance of and the value that every member of the society has. This knowledge was kept with one person. That shows that she was engaged. صح لله. Can you imagine يعني, if she was the type that... She was engaged. She was informed. She was active. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. She asked to be with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because she had lofty aspirations. Right? I don't want to take too long, but let me just add... one more thing. When she said to him, I want you to promise me a place with you in Jannah. Musa said what? He didn't say, of course, someone like you deserves Jannah. And the scholars said, this is a very valuable lesson. This is an important lesson. We have no authority to determine who goes to Jannah and who goes to hellfire. We don't have the authority to do that. But, well, look what this person did. Look what this person was killed for. Look what this person contributed. You're telling me this person is not going to go to Jannah? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We have no authority. Jannah doesn't belong to us. We're not the guardians of Jannah. We're not the jury. We have no authority whatsoever. This is a territory that we need to be very careful of. We live in a time where people try to impose their opinions and their perceptions and their judgment and their taste on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person deserves Jannah, this person doesn't. We don't know. In the stories, if you remember, one of the first stories that we mentioned was a man who killed 99 people, then he killed a scholar. He killed 100 people. That man went to Jannah. Right? Now, if you were to ask the people of his time, this guy will not even smell Jannah, let alone go to Jannah. He repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's up to us, but it's not our Jannah, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Jannah. أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. It's the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no authority to distribute the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his behalf, nor do we have any authority to restrict the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know our boundaries and our limits and be very careful. We cannot guarantee anyone Jannah. We cannot guarantee or give people labels like Shaheed, like this, like that, Wali, this, that, without any authority. So it's from the well-established principles of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, أَنَّهُ لَا نَشْهَدُ بِالْجَنَّةِ وَلَا بِالنَّارِ إِلَّا لِمَنْ شَهِدَ لَهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. We do not confirm, we do not determine for anyone that person is in hellfire or in Jannah unless we have what? Clear evidence from the Quran or from the prophet, the prophetic tradition. I'll conclude with this. In one of the battles, the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim praised one of the men who was fighting on the side of the Sahaba. And he was one of the Sahaba. He was amongst them. He was fighting for the Prophet ﷺ. He was fighting for Islam. They said, this man is amazing. They kept praising him. The Prophet ﷺ turned to them and he said, أَمَا إِنَّهُ فِي النَّارِ. He is indeed in hellfire. The Sahaba were shocked. How? And that hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the title of that particular chapter is باب لا يقال فلان شهيد. It is not permissible for us to say so and so is shaheed. Unless, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us so, or unless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Now you can say, we ask Allah to grant this person shahada. Right? We perceive him, or we hope and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him a shaheed. You speak with that kind of humility. But you never guarantee someone Jannah or martyrdom or any of these rewards because we don't have that authority. Right. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannatul Firdaus and to allow us to be in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the messengers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who listen and follow the best of what they listen to. Does anyone have a question or should we conclude? Any question? Subhanakallahumma bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.